This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the repeal of Obamacare. Is it on life support? Alabama Senator Luther Strange, who was at the White House for lunch with the president, joins me with the latest from the U.S. Senate in just a moment. And breaking news in the House of Representatives on the repeal of Obamacare. Founding Chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, is here with those details. Also, some military leaders are breaking ranks, saying there is disagreement at the Pentagon over moving forward with the Obama-era transgender policy because of the science. Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, a brigadier general in the National Guard and member of the House Armed Services Committee, joins me with the latest on the continuation of social engineering, which distracts the military from their mission. That's coming up on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Everything's archived right there. If you miss anything on your way home, you can find it later at TonyPerkins.com. Other resources available for you as well. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. All right, this afternoon, all 52 Republican senators were invited for lunch to the White House with the president as he tries to plot a way forward with the repeal of Obamacare. He hosted all of the Republican senators there, and this comes as the Senate tries to pass a repeal of Obamacare through the United States Senate. With us now, Senator Luther Strange of Alabama. He serves on the Senate Committee on the Budget and the Armed Services Committee. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch once again.
Thank you, Tony. Glad to be with you. Hope you're well.
I'm doing quite well. Thank you. I understand you were among those who met with the president today at the White House. What did you come away with from that meeting?
Well, I was there. The president was very gracious to host the Republican caucus. I came away with a sense of commitment from the president that we would fulfill the promise that every Republican senator made, that we would repeal and replace Obamacare. And the president made it very clear that he was willing to work with everyone, get everyone in a room, and figure out how we can get to resolution. So I would say I'm optimistic. We left the meeting with a commitment to get back in a room, which will start as we speak this evening and later today, and it will be just constant negotiations. I don't see how we can go home and face voters if we don't do what we promised to do.
So from the president's standpoint, is it even an option not to repeal Obamacare?
No, it's there's no option. We have to repeal it. The president's main message was, let's replace it with something good. We have a good proposal. We're almost there. We're very close to getting to the end. And so his help in getting everyone in the room to say, look, let's don't stop. We're within just a short distance from victory. And so let's stay in the room. Let's stay in Washington until we get it done. And I strongly support that approach.
Now, Senator, it's kind of been back and forth, the president, wanting a repeal and replace, and then last week saying that, actually the week before, saying that if there was not agreement on a replacement, that we just go forward with the 2015 repeal that was in the reconciliation bill in 2015. Was that discussed at lunch today, simply going forward with the repeal at this time and coming back later with a replacement?
Well, it wasn't the first choice, really, of anyone, the idea of just repealing and waiting. I think the president's, I realize that was his position a couple of weeks ago. I think he was anticipating so much that we were on the edge that when we had two or three senators peel off just in the last few days, I think it just encouraged the president to get back to the table and say, look, we're that close. Let's stay here because we have to replace it. And let's do it now. Why wait? So then we can go on to other issues that we all obviously care about, tax reform, infrastructure, and other things on the agenda.
Now, when you look at Obamacare, in fact, the president, I think, tweeted something out about this yesterday, and the facts are very clear. Obamacare cannot continue. I mean, it is failing. It is imploding. Something has to happen.
Well, that's a great point, Tony. He was very clear about that the Obamacare law has failed. It's already failed. It's almost a corpse, I think was his term. So we can't do nothing. You know, my state, I can speak for my state, we have thousands of people with no options for any coverage, and our premiums are as high as anywhere in the country. They've increased over 200%. So, and Alabama's done things the right way. We've tried to be thoughtful and creative in our Medicaid program so that we're taking care of those who most need the help, you know, the disabled women and children and others. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged with the meeting today. I really am.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, Senator Luther Strange of Alabama, my guest, discussing a meeting this afternoon at the White House with the Republican senators trying to, chart a path forward on the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. Did the president, Senator, define what success would look like? Did he say this is what we should be shooting for? Did he lay something like that out before the senators?
Well, he did, Tony. He talked about things that that I know you've discussed before too. But he said there's so many good things going on here. You know, eliminating the individual mandates, and so many people in this country pay a lot of money. Poor people that are not wealthy pay a penalty not to be covered by this Obamacare. I mean, eliminating the group mandates, eliminating, adding in health savings accounts, which gives much more flexibility, putting in competition with the freedom to choose, the Freedom Amendments that Ted Cruz and Mike Lee have proposed.
Right, you have more
putting,
options.
Medicaid on a sustainable path. There's lots of good news in here, and he made that case. So it wasn't gloomy. It was a positive thing. His point was, let's look at what we're accomplishing here. It's a lot of good stuff.
Is there a sense from your colleagues that any of them shifted as a result of this gathering at the White House today?
Well, I'm not clear on that. I think that they showed a willingness to come to the table. My assessment is that there are a handful of senators who come from states that expanded their Medicaid program to add people who are able-bodied, single, people who were never, in my view, intended to be on Medicaid to begin with. Mm-hmm. They expanded that program. They took a lot of federal money, and when you do this with a federal program, it makes it very, very difficult to take that back.
Right.
And I think that's ultimately what you're seeing. I think in the long run, that's detrimental to the least among us, the most vulnerable populations, because you're making you're doing something with Medicaid it was never intended to do, and it'll ultimately, if it fails or collapses, if it's unsustainable, then that will impact the people who depend on it, who rightly need it.
That's an excellent point, Senator, which I hope some of your other colleagues will get a handle on, because there's this idea, and this is historic with government. You've been in state government. You know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
You expand the program. More people come in. You have a constituency. And even though it doesn't make economic sense or it's not really a necessity, mm-hmm. you can never make it go away. And you have Republicans here that, you know, ran on this. They gained the majority in the House. They gained the majority in the Senate. They gained now the White House in large part because of running against Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
And you make an excellent point. If we don't buckle our belt, you know, tighten our belt and display some discipline here and make some hard decisions, everybody, the most vulnerable among us, will suffer.
Absolutely. And that's what the program was really intended to do, was take care of, you know, the disabled, women and children who are truly poor. That's important, and we're on an unsustainable path. And so that's just the nature of politics. You give away big government programs, and I just see that as a problem. And so you're going to see some negotiations, in that area with that segment of senators. But the president's point, which I totally agree with, was that broader point that you and I just were discussing, that this is a national opportunity to put Medicaid on a sustainable path, to create more freedom, to give more power back to the states, who can spend the money much more wisely than the federal government. And we should take advantage of that. And if you want to think about the politics of this, if we can't lead and fulfill our promises, then we will not be in power much longer. And that has a broader impact, because it means you won't have conservative judges on the courts. You won't have people that I support who strongly believe in the rule of law. If you're interested in family, you know, pro-life issues, that has ramifications there. So it's a big issue nationally, and may have to put aside some of our state-specific issues and think about the country as a whole.
Well, Senator, you're making too much sense. and I know you might see this as a liability because you're the newest member of the Senate. You took Jeff Sessions' spot when he was tapped to be Attorney General. You might see that as a liability. But I would encourage you, with a fresh perspective coming from the states to a place that is sometimes insulated from the rest of the country, to confidently make those arguments, because I think the other senators need to hear that. They need to make these tough decisions, or those that government has, you know, some responsibility to help, or at least a desire to help those who are most vulnerable among us, will be the ones who ultimately end up suffering.
That is exactly right. And we will have been doing a terrible disservice to them, the people that need these programs the most. And so I'm going to continue to make that case, Tony. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your program to do that and to talk about these issues.
All right, Senator, as always, great to talk with you, and we'll be checking in with you again soon.
We will. Thanks. See you.
All right, Senator Luther Strange of Alabama. Coming in to replace Jeff Sessions, who was tapped to be Attorney General. And Luther's a great guy. Great to have him on the program. I've visited with him and worked with him. He's advancing a number of key issues. In fact, he's one of the co-chairs of the Senate Values Action Team, and was prepared to push forward if the bill got onto the floor, and when it does get onto the floor, making sure that it's pro-life. That those provisions are there in the bill. We are very close on this, folks, and I encourage you to contact your senators and make very clear to them failure is not an option. We are the closest we've ever been and probably the closest we will ever be. And my message across the board today, and I actually did a press conference with a number of conservative leaders, was on the phone with members of the White House, or people in the White House, as well as members of Congress, that, look, is that the point I made earlier, the Republicans gained the majority in 2010 as a result of this bill. Nancy Pelosi lost the majority in the House. Next cycle, two cycles later, ran on it, the Republicans ran on again, gained the Senate, and then in 2015 passed a repeal bill. Went from the House to the Senate through reconciliation. I worked with my good friend Steve Scalise, who's doing better in the hospital. Continue to pray for him. And it got repealed funding for 86% of the funding for Planned Parenthood and gutted Obamacare. That landed on President Obama's desk. He vetoed it. There's no reason that cannot pass today. And then the Senate and the House come back and outside the narrow parameters of reconciliation, craft a comprehensive replacement package. See, they're very limited because they're using reconciliation. There's only certain things you can do. But if Obamacare is not repealed now, my prediction, it will never be repealed. And this is, well, as I said today, this afternoon in a press event, the Republicans might as well call hospice, because their majority will not be long for this world. So, folks, I encourage you to contact your senators and encourage them to support this measure. All right, when we come back, the founding chairman of the Freedom Caucus, Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, joins me to talk about breaking news in the House on the Obamacare front. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
Is there a cost to free speech? For nearly 40 years, Washington and much of the American public have held up disclosure and campaign finance laws as ideals and the path to cleaner and freer elections. In her book, The Intimidation Game, Kimberly Strassel provides firsthand accounts concerning how both have been hijacked by the left as weapons against free speech and free association, becoming the most powerful tools of those intent on silencing their political opposition. The book provides a chilling expose of political scare tactics and overreach, such as how Citizens United set off a wave of liberal harassment against conservative politicians and the targeting of Tea Party groups by the IRS. Listen to Ms. Strassel as she discusses about her national bestseller, The Intimidation Game, how the left is silencing free speech, which chronicles recent attacks on conservative nonprofits, businesses, and donors at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
In America today, religious freedom, national borders, and even traditional gender roles are in peril. With all that's happening in our world, our nation is in desperate need of a return to conservative values. Hello, I'm Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of American Family Association. One of the best ways we can make a difference is with our vote. That's why each year the American Family Association is a sponsor of the Values Voters Summit to help increase cultural engagement. This year's Values Voters Summit will be October 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. The growing list of confirmed speakers includes people you hear on AFR like Ed Battagliano and Tawny Perkins, as well as Michelle Bachman, George Barna, Gary Bauer, the Benham Brothers, and more. The Values Voters Summit is sponsored in part by AFA Action. To learn more and to register, you can visit valuesvotersummit.org.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there's probably never been a more important time in our economy to be thinking about a charitable gift annuity. I hope you'll do that just to shore up, to firm up some more income, permanent income, income that you can count on for the rest of your life while you're doing the Lord's work. A charitable gift annuity has been something I've been talking about for 25 years. Finally, we're seeing even mainstream start to get on board with the merits of charitable gift annuities. I hope you'll consider it. You can call the AFA Foundation. Someone there will help you work through the details and find out whether you qualify for a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. All right, there's votes going on in the House, so they're shifting some votes around. We just got word Jim Jordan's going to try to join us as soon as he gets off the floor. Also, Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania going to be calling us a little bit later as well. So we're just going to be fluid, folks. Fluid. Can you say fluid? That's the word for today. All right, let me, while we're doing this before Jim comes on, they're working on something on Obamacare, which is going to be breaking news. In fact, we'll see if it's happened yet. That's how breaking it will be. So I'll let you know when he comes on. But I want to come back, and I'm going to talk with Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, who is a brigadier general in the National Guard. He spoke on the House floor in favor of Vicky Hartzler's amendment last week. I think it was last week. I lose track of time. That would have prohibited the military from spending money on transgender surgery. Yes, it was last week. And the here's what's happening. There's opposition to that. It failed by five votes, but there's still strong opposition to that. And the military wants an additional $80 billion over what they got this year and what's scheduled to be. And so there's they've rolled kind of a mini omnibus, which is several spending bills, appropriations bills, which they're going to vote on next Tuesday. One, it's called Make America Secure Act. Now, in that, you may have heard this, there's some funding for the border wall, but the military's increased funding is in that. So right now, we're opposed to this. Make America Secure Act. We're opposed to this because this furthers the Obama-era social engineering in our nation's military. And your member of Congress needs to hear from you. We sent up a letter, the Family Research Council sent up a letter earlier today saying that we are prepared to score against this, meaning we're going to make this a record vote. And the pro-family vote is to vote against this additional funding for a variety of reasons, but primarily because if the Department of Defense has what is estimated to be over the next 10 years, $3.7 billion to spend on transgender surgeries. Why do they need more money? Until they start spending the money they have wisely, why should we give them more? And this is clearly within the ability of this administration to stop. So the Capitol switchboard number 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. More about that in a moment. But now joining us, Congressman Jim Jordan. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Ohio, serves on the House Judiciary Committee and the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, and he is the founding chairman of the Freedom Caucus. Congressman Jim Jordan, welcome back. Jim, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you're out of breath, huh?
No. Maybe I have my hand over the microphone there. I'm here, but good to be with you, brother.
Hey, let's talk about Obamacare. You guys making some moves there in the House to address the issue of the repeal of Obamacare.
Yeah, I mean, look, we think you should do everything possible for a clean repeal. It's where we've always been. We supported the House bill because we thought it was the best we could get, but our position had always been one piece of legislation, clean repeal, a separate piece of legislation for replacement. And so we've filed a discharge petition here. We're filing that right now on the House floor to start the process to bring up that clean repeal piece of legislation.
So that means if you have explain to our listeners how the discharge petition
is real simple. We've urged our leadership to put the clean repeal legislation on the floor to demonstrate to the Senate that we can pass it. They don't want to do that. So we said, well, look, we'll start gathering signatures. Now it's uphill task. But the point is, if you can get 218 people to sign this petition, and we started that process today on the motion to bring up the rule that would govern that petition. But if you can get the signatures, you can bring it to the floor, and it's that simple. But to boil it all down, it's even more simple than that, Tony. What did we tell the American people we were going to do? We told them we were going to repeal Obamacare. So let's do what we said we were going to do.
And so what this does, as you pointed out, this is passing the 2015 measure that passed the House, passed the Senate, went to President Obama, and you're saying, hey, let's do it again.
Same thing we put on President Obama's desk that he vetoed, let's put on President Trump's desk, we know he'll sign it. Then, frankly, this is actually, for those who say, well, we need to come together bipartisan, the way to the catalyst for a bipartisan solution, I believe, is first repeal it. Now Democrats might actually work with us to do things that are going to help families, help individuals and families in that individual and small group market. So this is the first step. It's the right step to take, and that's why we're pushing like we are.
And I think it's a smart step to take because there's no excuses. The House passed it before. The Senate passed it before. There are no excuses. You guys are going to model that by bringing it to the House floor, passing it again, and then the onus once again is on the Senate.
Tony, I apologize. I got to run back on the floor for a vote, but I wanted to check in here for a couple minutes. Thanks for all the good work you're doing.
All right, Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. You heard it here, folks. Breaking news right now. They are filing this discharge petition. You heard it here first on Washington Watch. That means that the House is going to force the hand of the Senate. There's been a lot of back and forth, behind-the-scenes negotiations. The Senate... Some not wanting the Senate to move forward because they didn't know what they would, they have to advance the House bill. The House bill is not the clean repeal. It would have to be amended. This will put a clean repeal. It doesn't repeal everything because it's still within reconciliation, but it is the same bill that passed in 2015 that essentially guts Obamacare, defunds Planned Parenthood. That would then go to the Senate. The Senate would be able to take that up. No concerns there about what they would be addressing. That would then, again, put the onus on the Senate to act without any cover. And I've had some conversations with some members who have said, well, you know, that was a messaging vote, that 2015 vote. Really? You didn't bother to tell the American people that. You told them that if you had a president who would sign it, we could repeal Obamacare. And that's what the American people did. Again, folks, a lot of work here. This is a listener-participating program. Government only works, and this program only works if you participate. Need to call your member of Congress, in addition to your senators, 202-224-3121. All right, get your House members to vote on the clean repeal of Obamacare. get them to oppose the Make America Safe Act until they take out the transgender funding, and then contact your senators and tell them to repeal Obamacare as well. Next, Congressman Perry joins us. Don't go away. We're back with more.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Well, everybody's going to be watching oil prices once again as inventories are scheduled to head higher by 1.6 million barrels. Now, usually that's a negative for oil, but oil prices continue to go up a bit. And it's primarily based on the fact that they're expecting crude oil demand to begin to pick up. So we'll have to wait and see. Now, there's a possibility that the inventory numbers come in higher than 1.6. That could be a bit of a problem. But we are coming off of several weeks of inventories being negative, and that has been very good for oil prices. So it's all going to be about what they believe is going to happen with demand. And frankly, if we don't get tax reform, you can count on oil prices coming down as the demand story will whittle away to nothing. Dollar is inching up a little bit stronger after hitting a 10-month low. So I believe that's good news. Not such good news maybe for commodities, but good news in general and looking at strength in the economy. The big indicator of strength in the economy would be housing starts. It's only 1 month, so we can't get too excited, but nonetheless, housing starts did surge 1.22 million. That is compared to 1.09 last month. That is an 8.3% increase. That's very good. Housing permits surged as well, 7.4%. So that gives us a look at future housing. Housing always very good for the economy.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you on this Wednesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. We talked about this a lot last week and even some this week. The National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2018 was passed by the House of Representatives last week. There was an amendment on the floor, Vicki Hartzler, Congresswoman from Missouri, that simply said, look, the Department of Defense cannot spend any money on transgender surgeries. That's sex reassignment surgery, gender reassignment, because it costs too much money. In fact, over the course of 10 years, estimated to be upwards of $3.7 billion. I mean, that's a Navy destroyer that could be funded. Well, one of the individuals who spoke in support of Vicki Hartzler's amendment as Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania. He is a brigadier general, actually, in the National Guard in Pennsylvania. And I've got a short clip. Before I bring him on, I want to play of what he had to say on the House floor last week. Here's that clip.
Sex reassignment patients also require specialized medicine following the procedure. And I find that interesting in the face of, I just had a young gentleman come to office who wants to serve,
for sex reassignment,
but he can't serve because he's got a peanut allergy. Right?
He can't. We might have a little problem with that clip. Essentially, I'm going to ask him to tell that story because it was a compelling story of what he said about someone coming to his office wanting to join the military. Congressman Scott Perry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I listened to your comments on the House floor last week, and I thought they were very compelling. You talked about the cost, but you also told the story of a young man who came to you, wanted to be in the military, and I want you to share that with our listeners very quickly.
Yes, a young man, you can just picture him. I mean, just a mountain of a young man, the kind of person that you want carrying the squad automatic weapon, and guys that patrol will know what I'm talking about, who's desperate to serve his country in uniform, but has a very mild peanut allergy, as he described it, very mild. But is barred from enlistment. He cannot join. And I juxtapose that situation. This young man wants to fight for his country and secure our freedom and our liberty, and he's not allowed to join We can't fix the backs of the broken backs of Special Forces soldiers at the VA. We got a program, a volunteer program out there for guys that need that surgery. But somehow we're going to pay $3.5 billion for people to have their sex reassignment surgery in the military, be off the job for a couple hundred days, not deployable, while they convalesce from the surgery, and then require specific drugs, hormones, et cetera, if they do deploy. Yet this young man who wants to join but has a peanut allergy and might need a naphthalene pen or something, you know, some kind of anti-inflammatory Benadryl or something like that, if he gets deployed, he can't join. It's the wrong prioritization of what is really required. We have scarce resources. We must have our service members focused on defeating our enemies, and this doesn't lead to enhanced readiness or strength, in my opinion. And I don't know how you can make the argument that it does.
Well, I agree with you on that point, Congressman. So I'm left with the only rationalization of this, the only justification of this, is that there is a political agenda behind it.
Tony, I don't know. I will tell you, I'm not sure what's going on, and I just hate to say this way, but I don't know what party I belong to where we as Republicans in control of the House and can, you know, we run the legislation, we decide what gets put on the floor or not, that we don't have the votes to pass an amendment like that. And so I don't know what was at play there. I know that Ms. Hartzler was asked more than once to pull her amendment so it wouldn't even run. And I think there were folks that behind the scenes that were working against it. And to me, it's very, very disappointing. We dealt with this kind of attitude for 8 years under a president that I think was very counterproductive to national security and the military. And I think most of us thought when his term was over that kind of attitude was over. But unfortunately, now we're fighting that fight right here among our own, and that is disappointing, to say the least.
Congressman Perry, it's not the only area we talk about transgenders, but we've seen how the previous administration used the military to advance their radical social, sure, cultural agenda. One of those areas in global warming, where the military, right, has been drawn into that battle. You had an amendment on the floor, right, to roll that back, and that failed.
Yes, that indeed did. We had so right in the bill was placed the requirements to our nation's military to deal with climate change and issue reports. And my assertion, much like the transgender assertion, was it's not about the person, and it's even maybe not even about the issue, so to speak. We weren't having an argument on climate change, whether it's real or not, what's causing it, how to solve it. The issue at hand is how do we want to spend scarce resources in the Department of Defense, and what do we want to be focused on? And I made the assertion that while officers right now are spending plenty of time dealing with, this is by mandate, by the way, don't ask, don't tell, suicide prevention, sexual harassment, and equal opportunity, those are things that they must deal with. Now they're also going to have to deal with climate change reporting. And when they should be focused on the enemy and the people that would behead us and destroy our country, and in a time of scarce resources, especially when we're desperately attempting to rebuild the military, the last thing we want to do is make them have them focus on anything other than the imminent threats that face them and us. But yet, once again, we don't have the votes in the Republican House of Representatives to pass that amendment.
It is hard to explain. Congressman, I know you've got to go back and vote, and we're up against a break. I want to thank you for joining us. Look forward to having you on again real soon.
I am privileged to be here. Thank you very much for everything you do. God bless you.
All right, Congressman Scott Perry. All right, don't go away, folks. We're back in just a moment.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website, twholyland.com, for more information. twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
Christian apologist Frank Turek.
75% of young people walk away from the church once they leave the home, and one of the major reasons is they don't know why Christianity's true.
Join Frank Turek and others at Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics, October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Witness live debate and the premiere of American Family Association's documentary, The God Who Speaks. Early bird pricing ends August 1st. Visit ses.edu for details.
God has uniquely gifted you for His purposes. You are wired for good works. Volunteering with Operation Christmas Child directly connects you with God's global purposes. By serving year-round, you further the proclamation of the gospel in more than 150 countries through a simple gift-filled shoebox. To learn more about local, year-round opportunities to make disciples or to apply, visit SamaritansPurse.org/volunteer with OCC.
Dr. Ligon Duncan from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
Paul says, remember that the sacred scriptures teach us the way of salvation, which is by faith in Christ. And in the first instance, Paul is talking about the Old Testament. So here's a New Testament letter written to a minister of the word who already knows about the word because he's been preaching the word for maybe a decade. And yet Paul is exhorting him to continue in his high view of the word and even reminding him that the Old Testament reveals salvation, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. And then in 2 Timothy 3:16, he unloads, you know, perhaps the greatest single verse in all the New Testament about the authority of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed or breathed out of the mouth of God.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at tperkins. All right, to recap there, let me give you that capital switchboard number. You can reach either your two senators or House member through the switchboard. You might have their direct number. That's fine. You can call their district office. That's even better. I just can't go through, all of those numbers here on the air, so it's easier to give out the switchboard number. 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. You call, tell them who your congressman is. Tell them your senators, or, you know, if you don't know, you should know, but if you don't, tell them your state. And if you don't know your House member, just tell them your zip code, and they'll connect you with the office of your member of Congress. Important that you contact them. All right, number of issues unfolding. This is going to be, the next few weeks going to be extremely busy. Congress normally working toward their August break, Senate postponing that until the third week of August so that they can deal with, number one on the top of the list is the repeal of Obamacare. I do not believe that not repealing it is, should be an option, okay? I mean, I don't control the agenda there. But I think you can have a big influence on your senators by communicating with them that they need, look, if they can't agree on a replacement package, repeal it. And again, I think it's a smart move that the Freedom Caucus is doing. The Freedom Caucus is doing an amazing job of driving the agenda. They're providing leadership. Now, not everybody agrees with them. I happen to agree with most of what they do, almost all of what they do. They are pushing this forward in the House to basically, if I can use the term, smoke out the Senate by putting onto the House floor the 2015 repeal language. The president a couple weeks ago said he was for it. He got pushback from the Senate. He had these squishy senators who were saying, well, we've expanded Medicaid. And we've brought these people in, and we don't want to pull back anything we've given out. first off, let's go back. What's the primary purpose of government? It's not to take care of the citizens of this country from cradle. Well, I shouldn't say citizens, because a lot of people who are not citizens benefit of these various government programs. But cradle to grave protection, coverage, care from the government, is that what government's here for? What about national defense? Of course, there on that front, we see a continuation of this social engineering. So I'm going to go back and recap for you and kind of the action steps for today. But here's the question. I'm going to open up the phone lines here. By the way, tomorrow is Thankful Thursday. All right, so we're going to focus on that tomorrow. But today, here's the question I have. If the GOP, if the Republicans, who now have, as I went through earlier, since Obamacare passed, they gained control of the House, they gained control of the Senate, they gained control of the White House, they have it all. Now, I understand they don't have a 60-vote margin of leadership in the Senate. They got 52 votes. But all right, that they still have the majority. If the GOP does not follow through on 8 years of promises to repeal Obamacare, which they've run on in every cycle, if they continue the radical social policies of the Obama administration, I want to know, how will you respond in the next election? Now, I hope you vote. I don't ever encourage anybody to stay home, but I mean, how are you going to approach that? At some point in time, are you going to tell your Republican senator who refuses to do what they said they were going to do, repeal Obamacare, are you going to vote them out of office? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, the number to call to get on the conversation this afternoon, 866-372-7234. How are you going to respond if the Republicans, and I've talked to some, and now most of the ones I talk to are like the ones you hear on this program. They're about getting it done, and they're frustrated. But some are saying, well, you know, it'll just, you know, the American people understand, we just couldn't get it done. Really? You think so? I don't. I think the American people are tired of talk, and they want action. What do you think? 866-372-7234. Again, the Capitol switchboard number, 202-224-3121. And you need to communicate on a couple of issues. One, weigh in with your two senators on the repeal of Obamacare. Tell them it's time to act. Okay? Get it done. Get her done. You ran on it. You promised it. Got the White House. You did it in 2015. When you didn't have a president who would sign it, now you have one that will sign it. Get her done. Do it. And in the House, get the same thing. They are working to put the straight-up repeal, we call it a repeal, again, it's partial repeal, the 2015 language, and also not to fund, this is important, folks, because I'm in a push and shoving, a shoving and pushing match with the leadership over this. The no funding for the Make America Secure Act until the administration backs off their social policy in our military. No reason to give them more money if they're going to continue the failed, asinine policies of the Obama administration. All right, let's go to Tennessee, where Gail is on the line. Gail, welcome to Washington Watch.
Try to catch your program every afternoon. Really appreciate all the work that y'all do up there. You had asked the question concerning if our senators did not vote to repeal as they said they would. Mm-hmm. I've already told mine, don't even bother to run. You would never get my vote again.
Good. I think they need to hear that kind of message. And I think there's some folks out there, and I know running for the Senate is difficult, okay? I mean, I've done that. I actually ran for the Senate. It takes a lot of money. And so it's not easy just to embark upon a run for the Senate, but be looking for those candidates who would be viable for that position. I think it's time to start recruiting candidates to run against some of these, I don't want to call them squishy Republicans, but I don't know of a single Republican who ran on not repealing Obamacare. I think they all ran on it. Certainly the party did. The party platform calls for it, which I was a part of writing. And they need to follow through on those promises. I mean, that's what I think was refreshing about President Trump, is that he's, for the most part, been doing what he said he was going to do. Now, I'm a little concerned that he's allowing the social engineering to continue in the military, and I've communicated that. And so, you know, look, I can't go along with that. They need to stop that, and he can do it. And so we shouldn't give any additional funding to the Department of Defense until they stop these bad policies. And they need to do what they said they were going to do, repeal Obamacare, in social engineering, in our military. It's up to them. They got to get it done. And they need to hear from you to be motivated to do it. And some of you out there might need to run for Congress. Certainly need to run for state legislatures, city councils, school boards. The only way we change government is by getting involved in government. If you want good government, need good people in it. All right, let's go to Richard in Nebraska. Richard, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, hello. My name is Rick. I'm in Casper, New York now. I'm listening to this program. I've been listening for years at all the Christian programs. You know, I think something happened in America. I think it was the day same-sex marriage became illegal, when the president reneged on his promise to defend DOMA, you know?
Right.
And since that day, he said it himself, America is not a Christian nation. Now we have Democratic people and Republicans fighting for if America is a pretense. And I think all this frustration, I could feel it on this show and all the shows that we've been listening to, that I'm in favor of everything we're trying to go for. But to believe that the Republicans, to me, they seem to represent the prostitution of the name of Jesus. At least the Democrats are, honestly, they just hate it. They're anti-Christ.
That's true, but we're a two-party system, and it's the way we influence government. And I will tell you, Richard, there are a lot of Christians in government. We probably have more in the House of Representatives, and even and there's a number in the Senate, Bible-believing, born-again Christian believers who were there for the right reason. You heard three of them, actually, on the program today. That's usually the only ones I have on the program. Now, sometimes we'll venture out and have others on subject matters where they're very knowledgeable. But when you talk about America being a Christian nation, I believe America was founded on Christian principles. I do not think America, as it operates today, is predominantly Christian. There's no way when you look at the policies. Now, it's not to say that we shouldn't try to bring those policies back in line with those Judeo-Christian principles which our nation was founded upon and prospered because of. I think, you know, government is it's constantly changing and moving. It takes on the shape and the motion of the people that are in it. And when we back off, we neglect it, it's like anything else. It deteriorates. And so I think we have to have a voice in it. We have to be, our voice is just as valid as anybody else's. And in a constitutional republic, we have a constitution which sets the boundaries, and then we can operate within those boundaries. One of the reasons that we're so animated about the courts is because the courts have removed those boundaries. And just that constitution is the agreement by which the people agree to be governed. And so when you remove the barriers or you redefine them, then all, you know, chaos ensues. And it's one of the reasons it's so important to get good judges. And it's one of the things this president has done thus far. Now, he's only had three confirmed out of 22 or 23 that he's nominated. A lot more work to be done there, but the voices of Christians need to be heard. All right, let me work in another call here. Let's go to Oklahoma, where Matthew is on the line. Matthew, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you, sir. I appreciate your time and all that you're doing.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, man. You stand as a very shining light, very bright light, and I appreciate it. So, but I was just going to say I agree with the total repeal, and also, and I mentioned this before, something maybe you can pass on to those senators and congressmen that you know. What about giving tax incentive to doctors to do pro bono work? Basically, I think the healthcare problem would solve itself if doctors were allowed to be protected under the law against being sued.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would have, you'd have people lined up, doctors that really want to just serve people. You know, whether they're Christians or they're not, there's a lot of people out there who have that heart.
Yeah.
And, that would make that would definitely make the Republican Party the heroes. And it would solve the problem. I really believe it would totally change. It'd be a game changer for the party.
You know, that's a great point, Matthew, and I know it has been discussed somewhat in the legal reform, tort reform, and there's some elements of that that have been done. But I have been on a number of medical mission trips, and, you know, I first was kind of skeptical. I said, yeah, you can do this stuff down the street. You know, why go to another country? Because, you could do it right here. We got people who need it. I found out that's not true. From two standpoints. One, you can't do it for the points that you just made. Number one, the liability. You can't do it. And in fact, it's in some cases illegal to do it. And then secondly, people are not as appreciative and not looking for that opportunity for a doctor like they used to, who would, trade health care for a dozen eggs or something like that, because the government has become the so-called provider, and unfortunately, they've basically tanked our healthcare system. It's imploding right before our eyes. I'm gonna look into that more, Matthew, and see the status of that, because I know it was discussed before in some of the healthcare reform discussions. I'm gonna see if where that might stand. But that's an excellent point, and the litigious nature of our society makes it very difficult for doctors. I've talked to a number of them, and their insurance is so high, malpractice. And I'm not against, I think there's a balance. There's a reason for trial attorneys, and I support them when they're reasonable, because it's a biblical principle. You know, someone is intentionally or because of negligence is harmed, they need to be made whole, but not to the degree that we have today. It's out of hand, and everyone is suffering as a result. Well, we're almost out of time, so I don't have time to get to any other calls. I apologize for those who are holding. Remember, tomorrow's Thankful Thursday. We're going to be talking about things you're thankful for. I'm thankful for you, number one, that you are taking action. I've been hearing it, okay, from the Hill. I've been hearing about the phone calls. Keep the phone calls going in to Capitol Hill. Tell them you're not going to fund the military. Do not fund the military until you stop the Obama-era social engineering policies. 202-224-3121, Capitol switchboard number. It's all the time we have for today. I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.